We're also joined by Rodan Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning, everyone.
Representative, we saw how Gordon Fox was sentenced this week. As we know, he pleaded guilty to personally using more than $100,000 in campaign contributions. So I wonder if you think whether the measures backed this year by the House of Representatives to try and discourage the abuse of campaign funds were strong enough.
I think they're a good start. I think the Board of Elections does need additional staffing to really go through reports. I think we really have the opportunity to get creative, particularly with a lot of the tools the Department of Revenue uses and their tax enforcement folks in terms of computer programs and things we can use to automatically flag bank accounts and things. But I will say this, as someone who's been working with the Board of Elections since 2008 when I first ran, they are a very they're a solid group of people and they want to help you. And when they find a mistake, they'll call you. They'll say, let's rectify this. They don't apply strict liability. They understand, especially where so many people, myself included, our own treasurers, are making, can make a clerical error here or there. But it definitely has changed the climate. I, for one, I'm getting a separate treasurer and, we're making sure everything is great because obviously there's going to be a greater level of scrutiny as there should be.
And before we go to Scott, I'd like to ask you, what should people think about? On one hand, we've got a new state budget that Speaker Mattiello is hailing as a pro-business budget. On the other hand, we see firefighter overtime legislation that might drive up taxpayer costs in local communities, new restrictions on charter schools. Is there a disconnect here?
Well, I think those two particular bills you mentioned, there are local concerns with both of them. I think the firefighter bill, it's predominantly because of what's going on in the city of Providence. With the charter school bill, there's this dynamic with the Rise Academy in Woonsocket that has really struck a lot of people in all of those communities as causing a problem for their local budgets. So there are issues that transcend party lines, political ideologies, and people who are feel one is deserving of, or those issues are deserving of reform. So I think they just happen to be tackled around the same time because that's the way the session works. But I don't think any of them are mutually exclusive of one another.
Let's go to Scott.
It seems like every elected Republican who's not in rehab today is running for president. As one of the state's few elected Republicans, who do you like in the early running in this field?
I think that the Republican Party has a strong field. I think the fact that we have a lot of people and we have a lot of time now, or at least it seems like a lot of time now, is going to be good for the party in the long run. People who are in the front runner status or have front runner status won't be forever. And I think that's good. And it bodes well for us. I like Marco Rubio. I like his youth. I like Jeb Bush. As we were remarking earlier, I lived in Florida when I was in middle school. Jeb Bush was governor at the time. I thought he did a very good job there. I think Scott Walker has shown an appetite for strong reform in the face of adversity. So I think a lot of them have good qualities. And I'm, anxious to see how the primary season plays out.
We've got to ask you our evergreen question for Republicans in Rhode Island. What will it take to increase the ranks of Republicans in the General Assembly?
Sure. Well, I think yesterday or Tuesday of this week, I should say, we saw a very competitive race in House District 33 that saw, I think, the Republican Party use a lot of tactics and get organized in a way that if we replicated across the state, I think you'd see different results on election night. I've always been of the impression that if we focused on local races, school committee and town council races, particularly in those communities outside of the 295 belt, if you will, we really can grow a farm team that then make outstanding General Assembly candidates. I say that having not run in those seats first, but I think that's a great opportunity we have.
How about the prospect for consolidation in some of these public services we have? It seems to me that's at the bottom of a lot of the problems we have with firefighting and pension systems and a lot of others.
Yeah, no, and that's something we have to get moving on. I personally am in favor of consolidation in general. We don't have a plan in front of us.
Why does Coventry not have one fire department?
Coventry, Lincoln, Burrillville, a lot of places that have multiple fire districts dating back to the 1800s when there were mill villages, mm-hmm. right? And I think part of the problem is there's an appetite for it in the General Assembly, but because of the very parochial nature by design of how we work, we have 14,000 constituents in the House, 28,000 in the Senate. I think it's very difficult to get one representative or senator or even a group to say, this is the plan and this is how we do it. I think this is the perfect opportunity for any governor, possibly this governor, to lead the charge with a well-thought-out plan that we can then make amendments to as necessary, but really move on. But I think it has to start there.
We're talking here with State Representative Daniel Riley. Speaking of saving money, Representative Riley, you've got a bill to create an inspector general. The idea is that this would help to save money, eliminate the ever-popular waste and fraud. Before you, Democratic Representative Larry Valencia, no longer in the House, had a similar bill. There seems to be very little interest on the part of the leadership to move this forward. What would it take to create an inspector general in Rhode Island?
Well, again, I think this is somewhere, this is an area where a governor really has to lead the charge. Nothing would make me happier than if we could pass out the bill. But because of the nature of how an inspector general works, it's a wonky position. You have to compare it to how it works in D.C. You're not going to get people fired up about it, even though there are a lot of people who are very enthusiastic about the idea. I think it's something that should be incorporated into the budget and can be done using existing money from offices that are kind of spread out but are doing similar things but could be consolidated.
You're a member of the Finance Committee, Representative, and I'm wondering, of all of these various economic development tools, so-called, that the governor got in her budget, which ones do you think are the most promising?
Well, I think what the most promising one is one that got very little attention in the hearing process, mostly because of lack of specifics. Not that we weren't trying to get more questions answered, but the tax increment financing proposal, I think, shows great promise. We're one of very few states that don't have a statewide TIF process. You see other states that have used it to great success, where a project can get some level of state assistance funded by debt that's secured against the increase in the tax revenue. So it's nothing out of a current budget. You pay for it out of growth, which is what we're seeking. And I think we have the opportunity using the TIF program to underwrite a lot of these big infrastructure and economic development projects.
I wonder what you make of Speaker Mattiello's politics. Liberals like Sam Bell, the progressive Democrats, say he's a reactionary Democrat. Others say that he's a centrist or non-ideological and has a strong record of accomplishment. What do you say?
Well, I think no matter where his individual politics may stand, Representative Mattiello will always have been different from Speaker Mattiello. And that you saw that with Gordon Fox going from representative to speaker. You're probably not going to see it with Representative Riley going to Speaker Riley, but when you go to managing a 75-person House, you start having to incorporate the beliefs and the ideologies and the concerns of all of your members because you're technically not a partisan figure. You represent the House as a whole.
You know, Social Security, you've done a big thing for the elderly in this budget. However, the poverty rate among the elderly is much lower than the poverty rate among young families with children. Mm-hmm. Was this a responsible thing to do?
I think it was a responsible thing to do. I'm certainly not opposed to expansion of like the earned income tax credit, which tended to be used as a comparison against what we were doing with Social Security. I don't think the two are mutually exclusive. I will say, coming from Aquinic Island, we have a large number of people who are moving to just Westport or Seekonk or just across the line to Massachusetts because it's cheaper for them. So it's an economic development issue because these are people who really are moving because there's a more favorable tax climate 15 minutes away.
And before we let you go, we know the General Assembly might return for a special session later this year to look at the PawSox. Would you support any degree of public subsidy for a PawSox ballpark in Providence?
I've yet to see any part of the plan that really would get my support.
All right, we're out of time, so we're going to leave it there. Thanks for joining us, Scott.
Thank you.
And State Representative Daniel Riley, a Portsmouth Republican.
Thanks for having me.